Hello and welcome to You Are From God, brought to you by the West Mason Church of Christ. My name is Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. We are both the preachers at the West Mason Church of Christ. We're so thankful for you tuning into this episode of You Are From God. We are continuing our series on the names of Jesus. If you've been following with the podcast recently, you'll know that we're in the book of John right now going through the I Am statements of Jesus to see what Jesus says about himself and the names and the titles which he gives himself so that we can understand who he is better. And if you're reading along with us today, we're going to be in John chapters 8 and 9. We know that some people will listen to this and they're driving or mowing their lawn or doing something that they're not able to read right as they're listening, but we encourage you as always to go back and read so that you're not just taking our words for what we're saying here, but that you can actually see what God has to say and the holy word that he's preserved for us to learn and to study from. And so in John chapter 8 is where we'll begin. You have this incredible story to start the chapter of the woman caught in adultery and the amazing things that Jesus does for her and for the those who come to accuse her. And then you get into this conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees that are around there and the other Jews. And in verse 12, Scott, the conversation just picks up right away. And he says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That is just a profound statement, and it is a great thesis statement, the whole point of what Jesus is going to get into, because naturally Jesus knows the hearts of these men standing around him, Scott, and so there's going to be this automatic response of he's saying he's the light of the world, that he's saying that if we follow him, we'll have the light of light. So the Pharisees already have this disposition of looking for ways to poke holes in what Jesus is saying or to accuse him of things. But this is Jesus making a profound statement, and you'll see as we go through this chapter that there's this back and forth between Jesus and his opponents about the nature of who Jesus is. So when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he is making a very bold and very clear statement that all truth, all light, all goodness, all righteousness comes and finds its source in who Jesus is. And he says that if somebody's going to follow me, they're not going to be in the darkness. They're not going to be subject to this world's struggles. They are going to have the light of life in them.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that by implication, I guess, he's telling them that the world is dark. And so for them to look around and say, "Why do you think this is so dark? We're here, we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing for God, and now all of a sudden you're saying that you're the light. That means we need to follow you instead of doing what we've been doing." The interesting part of this, Tyler, is that he's following this story about this adulterous woman, that they are bringing him to him and professing that they are following the law. And he says, "You're not following the law." And then he goes into this, "I'm the light of the world" conversation. This is just fascinating to see how he was viewing the world and how the world, quite frankly, was viewing him at this point. So much so, as we get into chapter 9, he's going to use it as an example, a real-life example of this blind man to really, truly make his point, literally being the light of the world. And it's just fascinating how Jesus, and he's the only one that can do this, is able to use the situations that he finds himself in and makes these statements and makes these points, and he's able to do this from a miraculous standpoint as we go forward into chapter 9. You have this man, you had mentioned this idea of him being the truth and following people, following what he's saying, and that he was going to make them free. And they go into this idea of, wait a minute, first of all, you say that we're blind or that we're in darkness. Now you're saying that we are in bondage. And now in chapter 9, he's going to say that they're blind. And it's just a fascinating part of this story of what Jesus is saying. So you have this blind man, obviously has been blind for his life. Everybody knows that he's blind. And so the Pharisees come up to him later on and try to figure out what happened to him. But Jesus comes up to him in verse 5 of chapter 9 and says, "While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And then he heals him. And so he can see, and all this whole thing plays out of the fact that he's able to see. They try to figure out what happened to him, and they just could not believe for the life of them that somebody was able to do this. And so they find out that truly, from this vantage point, that he actually gave him light. He actually was able to let him see. And at the end of this conversation is where he tells them, basically, you're blind. You're spiritually blind. You're able to see physically, but you're blind spiritually. And that's one of the illustrations you'll see throughout the scriptures, this idea of Paul when he was Saul and he was going to Damascus, where he's absolutely can see fine, but then when he sees the light, he's made blind. And so you have this understanding from a spiritual perspective that the Pharisees in this situation were absolutely blind. Though they knew the law, the reality is they did not know the light of the world.
Right. And it's worth pointing out, Scott, that when and it's true of all of us, when you live in the darkness for so long, or when you're used to darkness, light is offensive. You talk about being in a dark room for a good amount of time. It doesn't even have to be a long amount of time, but enough for your eyes to adjust, and then a bright light comes in, it hurts. Your natural inclination is to turn away from that light. Even though that light is good, you can see more in it, everything becomes clear, and it is able to see, you become able to see the reality of the things around you. There's no more guessing of what has to be, or an assumption of how the things around you really are. And that's the same way with the spiritual light that Jesus is. It's no longer guessing about the nature of God. God became man in the form of his son coming to this earth to show us what God was like. And so he's revealing God's nature, his desire, his will to us in this perfect way that he had been gradually revealing through the Old Testament, and now it's made perfectly clear. Jesus makes the point that you're saying at the end of chapter 9 when he re-encounters this man after he goes to the Pharisees and has this discussion with them about who, again, Jesus is. The Pharisees are upset because it was on a Saturday and it was the Sabbath day that he did this healing, and the man says, you know what? All I know is I was blind and now I see. And we have amazing hymns and spiritual songs about that very point and from our own lives that we are all spiritually blind at one point. But then when we understand who Jesus is, not somebody's portrayal of Jesus, not the person speaking up at the front of the room on a Sunday morning says about Jesus, but what God's word says about him, that is when true light enters in and I'm able to see. At the end of chapter 9, Jesus heard that they had cast him out in verse 35, this man that he had healed. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." So Jesus basically says, yes, this is you who I'm talking about. So it's so vitally important as we look into some of these other verses that talk about our role in being the light of the world, that Jesus wants us to be that light as well. It's an understanding that people are going to react differently if I'm shining Christ in my life, if I am trying to abide in the light of the world, that darkness is still around and darkness is still going to hate the light, as John chapter 3 will talk about after the verse everybody knows in John 3:16. It goes on to talk about this light and dark contrast, and that those who are of the world, who are dark, are going to have this tension, this conflict. But the beautiful reality of what Jesus does and who he is that that light can enter into that darkness. And if we're in darkness, we can either choose to hate the light and hide away from it and remain in the darkness, or bring our sins to the light, as John chapter 3 will say, and be cleansed of it. That's the incredible gift that Jesus offers, and that he is saying, "Come unto me, you'll find rest," and that you will be cleansed of the sin that separates you from God. We are reconciled through him. That is what the light of the world is all about.
Yeah, in 1 John, so it's the same author, but in 1 John, in his epistle, he makes it very, very clear in verse 5 that God actually is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And then he goes into these if statements. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Is the understanding that if we profess to be a follower of God, then we're going to have to walk in this light. To Philippians chapter 2, perspective is the idea that he says that we are the lights in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. And we're the lights in the world, or the word can be translated stars. We're the stars in the world. We're the ones that people are seeing Jesus in us, and the understanding of we have to be walking in this in order for that to be true. We can say that we have light, but as he'll go on in 1 John and talk about, if we don't actually show that light or live that light, we're just saying it. We're lying. And so it's the understanding of how we are walking. A lot of people struggle with this idea of us saying that we are walking in darkness, but that, to your point, what you just said, we all at one time were spiritually blind, and he's the one that helps us see, is the only one that can help us see. And so we need to make sure that we now, as his people, are making sure that we are being that example so other people are able to see him, not just solely see us as the light, see him as the source of what he is.
Yeah, it's an incredible blessing that we all have the opportunity to see the light. It's our choice of whether we walk in the light or whether we continue walking in darkness. And that's the whole point why Jesus came into the world, that he could say, "I am the light of the world. If you're going to walk with me, you're going to have the light of life." That phrase, light of life, was used at the very beginning of John's gospel, and the fact that Jesus had this light in him, and that this was the whole purpose why he came, was to reveal God's nature, to reveal our nature without God, our situation without God, and that we can ultimately repent of those sins and come back to him, confessing him as our Lord and Savior, and be children of light, as Ephesians will talk about, that we can be truly and wholly made pure and clean and light. It is such an amazing gift. If you have questions about how that happens, if you're struggling with the idea of what it looks like to fixate on the darkness that's already passing away, as 1 John will talk about, or whether we are fixing on the light that is already here. It's not just about waiting for heaven, Scott. This is the light we have now. Jesus brought it with him, and he was raised from the dead, and we have it with us because he abides in us, and we can abide in him. If, listener, you have any questions about how that happens, how that life works, if you have spiritual questions of some other issue, so that you know that you can be walking in the light because you're walking according to God's will, we would love the opportunity to talk with you. If you have questions that you'd like us to answer, or just topics you'd like us to talk on this podcast, find us online at wmcoc.org. That's wmcoc.org. There's a contact tab there. You can send us an email. Our phone number's on there. You can leave us a voicemail here at the church building. And certainly, if you're in the area, we encourage you to come by and worship with us. We thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll catch you next time on You Are From God.